Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And we're happy to be joined again by Master Gardener Jan Peterzelka. Welcome back, Jan.
Thank you, my dear. Good morning, everybody.
It's nice to finally have sort of a touch of fall with that nice cool rain that many of us receive. Some of it get it sort of all at once. Some of us get it in little bits and pieces, but we're just glad to have it. Cooler temperatures. We're going to be talking a little bit maybe about getting into that fall sensibility here very shortly. But Denise and Master Gardeners have been pretty busy. They have been involved in Artovino's, the farmer's market there every Saturday.
Yes, and they'll be there until the 24th. So you still have several weeks to go down there and visit the Master Gardeners. And at the same time that's going on, we're also starting up our new Master Gardener class.
Yes.
So we had our orientation this past week. So we're really excited to have a great group of people ready to start the program. So, I mean, before you know it, you're going to see a whole new batch of Master Gardener interns out in the community. So
you haven't seen that deer in the headlights look from the Master Gardeners thinking, oh my gosh, what have I gotten myself into?
Not yet. Not yet, because okay. Next week we're going to start actually talking about botany and plant science, and then we'll get those.
All right.
We'll have a whole herd of deer. There will be lots of those looks.
But
it's all good.
All worth it at the end.
Absolutely.
Well, there's a landscape conference also that's going to be coming up, Denise.
Yes, there is. So really, we've worked in this area on a lot of different conferences, bringing in a lot of different people for specific topics that we talk about, whether that's trees or turf grass or lawn maintenance. But really what we're looking forward to do is having more of an urban horticulture conference. And really that's to bring in all aspects of gardening in the city and really touching on all those things where it's not just land managers or large open spaces. We're looking at targeting new homeowners. We're looking at existing gardeners, people that are just interested as far as how gardening and horticulture really affects them living in the city, living in smaller areas and smaller yards, and but still want to have the benefit of, you know, trees and growing edible plants and things like that. So this is the first year that we're going to have our Urban Horticulture and Landscape Conference, and our theme is Growing Green. And we're really excited to bring that to the community. So we will be hosting that at the end of the month. It's the last Friday of the month, September the 30th, from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. And it's going to be located at the Texas A&M Research Center on I-10 in Americas. The registration fee for that is $35, and that also includes lunch. We'll have some breakout sessions, some hands-on tours and talks about tree care. We'll talk about some edibles as well. So, you know, we're really excited to be able to bring this all-inclusive conference to El Paso.
And again, it's September the 30th, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., and that's a pretty nice way to spend the day with a lot of learning.
Right.
That's all the Master Gardeners are about, right?
That's right. That's right. So we're really looking forward to bring that up to people to learn a little bit more about gardening in the city.
Well, I know that a lot of libraries have been hosting Master Gardener talks throughout the last several months. And as a result, I know those libraries are now sort of starting a seed library. So if our listeners were to stop by maybe their local public library, what would they expect if they're looking into getting into that seed library?
Well, the city of El Paso is really looking to have our other seed library and following the steps of other southwestern cities. Tucson has a very successful seed library, but really people are able to go and check seeds out from the library, and the hopes is to return, not those same seeds,
but the harvest
of the seeds in the subsequent season back to the library. And essentially what the library itself is more of the middleman, the storage area for building that community around people that want to save seeds and then share those with their neighbors. And I know as, you know, active gardeners, we tend to save our seeds for the next year, depending on what types that we have. But this is kind of a nice way to kind of build in community to build up a bank of seeds.
What kind of seeds do they have?
Well, a little bit of everything.
Oh, good.
The amount that they have right now is limited because this is a whole new deal. Mm-hmm. Many of us did talks through the Speakers Bureau about different topics. I spoke on herbs, mm-hmm. and you know, we incorporated in there a little bit about how you can harvest those seeds. And it's something that actually is kind of new to all of us as master gardeners, because many of us have not been in the practice of harvesting the seeds. But we have some good resources here in El Paso. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of good information on the internet, too. I actually went in there, and it's not as difficult as you think, but different plants have different needs when it comes to harvesting those things. So it's a new learning experience, and then you can take them home and plant them, and we'll teach you how to do that, and you're good to go. Bring them back the next year.
You know, and wildflower seeds, if you can find some, I'm not sure if they have them at the libraries, but you can pretty much find them just about anywhere else you can get seeds. And Jen, you were saying before the show that this is a really great time to go ahead and sow those wildflower seeds.
It is. This is the good time to do it. I've had the privilege of being at the Wild Seed Farm outside of Austin, and Lady Bird Johnson Farm is out there, and I've purchased those. And a couple of years ago, I actually just tossed out some red California poppy seeds. And now, in the spring, I have a yard full of red poppies. And so I did harvest a bunch of those seeds, and I harvested the seed pods. And they're very easy. You just kind of toss them out. It's not something that you plant mm-hmm. deep in the soil, right on the surface of the ground. And then water them in, and it's amazing how quickly they take hold. And blue bonnets are among those. Mm-hmm. So this is a good time to try that if you want to have our state flower in your backyard.
Yeah, I've had experience with blue bonnets, and all you need is pretty much just one plant, and the rest will take over within a couple of years. Your whole yard is going to be covered.
They all
do.
All of those wild seeds just really, you know,
yeah.
they're prolific, but they're just, it's like Mother Nature at her very best, because it's a smattering of all different kinds of things. If of course, you've got to toss the seeds out, but it's there's a lot of wild seed mixes, and it's a gorgeous, gorgeous spray of color in the spring.
And one thing is really interesting is because when a lot of those poppies are blooming in the early spring, not much else is going on
exactly.
in the garden.
Right.
So it actually adds that year-round interest to your garden, mm-hmm. and it's a splash of color. I've driven by and have seen so many landscapes just sprinkled with poppies, and it looks absolutely beautiful and breathtaking. But then if you gotta, don't blink because you'll miss it.
Exactly.
So it's really a nice thing. So, yeah, definitely be proactive as far as planting.
Well, it really is. I've actually had people stop by and ring my doorbell during my poppy bloom. And these are the California reds, and they're much taller, different from the ones that we have on the mountain. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that really helps them come to life is if we get good moisture in January and early February, because
yeah, winter rains will really just
makes a huge, huge mm-hmm. difference. So that is really a neat thing. And little or no work.
Right.
And also, well, I guess now we're thinking of cooler weather. We're thinking of maybe grabbing our gardening tools and heading outside. So there are, of course, your standard garden tools, right? Your spade, yeah. your pruners. But there are some other really cool tools that some people may want to take advantage of, especially if they're sort of being overrun by weeds. And with this rain that we've been seeing in the region lately, I think we're going to be seeing a lot of weeds starting to pop up.
Right, exactly. I think that, we have our tried and true tools that we always go to, and mine happens to be the loophole, which is
H-O-E.
Yes,
loophole.
Not a loophole like in the bureaucracy. And really what that is actually like a little cultivator, but at the end it's kind of like, I don't even know how to describe
like
it.
Like maybe a D-shape?
Yeah, a D-shaped little metal plate.
It's a blade, really.
Yeah, to bring that. Mm-hmm. And it's a standard size stake that it kind of sits on, and then you kind of roll it across your area. And I, Google loophole, and you'll see what I'm talking about. But I really enjoy using that. I use it every year, several times a year, but it's really great to get those small weeds that are coming out right now. I have some small spurge that seems to be taking over a little area. I also have some pigweed that's coming up too. And then I have some grassy weeds that I don't mm-hmm. know what they are yet because they're still too small. But, the smaller the better on those kind of things.
That's right.
As soon as they start sprouting out, you start seeing a little green popping up in your little area. Take that hoe over and just run it back and forth. And what essentially it does is it uproots that very, very minimal root system on there, and you just leave it there. You don't have to rake it up.
No.
You don't have to push it away. You don't have to do anything. You just roll it around, and it does all the work for you, and you will be thanking me every season when that comes, because when they just get past your ankle, they just
they just
shoot up higher and higher. And it's just like way too long. It's that one pass. It's wonderful. And I use it several times during the season. If you time it just right, you really don't have to use any weed killer or any kind of other heavy duty implements to get those weeds out of your yard.
And again, chemical free, right?
It
and
is.
Especially
Absolutely.
If you have mobility problems, you can't get down on your knees to pull those weeds out. It's like the same size as a rake. So
yeah.
you hardly would have to do any effort at all.
There's also one that is handheld. So if you have raised beds or if you're into getting down on your knees and, you know, working that way, then you can use a little handheld one. It gives you really good control. But I think the other thing that's important about, like Denise says, you get those early because when they do get up to your ankles, then they go to seed, and then you've got bazillions of weeds that are really hard to – and especially if you lived in an area where maybe your neighbors aren't quite as conscientious as you are about those kinds of things, because that can really be a pain.
Yes.
So it's a great tool, great, great tool.
Well, some other great tools you were mentioning before the show, Jen, bulb planters, because it's going to be bulb season soon.
Absolutely. Those are available at all of the big box stores and online, all over El Paso. And it has a little spring handle in it where you push the planter in. Of course, it's round, it's open, and makes a perfect hole for your bulbs. And when you pull it out, you push the handle, and it releases the soil. And this is such a good time to do it because it's cooler, especially after all the rains. Our soil's a little looser. Mm-hmm. And so you want to get out there and really amend those bulb beds and get some good compost down, so that they'll be ready and beautiful for spring as well. It's a good time to divide those kinds of things. I also, the very sophisticated tool that I use all the time, extremely sophisticated, is a serrated steak knife. I do a lot of container gardening, and as I take plants out of a pot where I've purchased them, lots of times the roots are girdled. So it's a good thing to cut those roots with.
A steak knife. And you can reuse it. Either to cut meat, as long as you wash it.
That's right. Pop it in the dishwasher, or I have my garden steak knives, and then I have my house steak knives. So
and
it's a great way to recycle them.
You were mentioning also a number two pencil.
Yes.
Everybody's got those lying around.
Everybody. They're very, I spend a lot of my tools. That number two pencil is wonderful as a water meter to check and see how damp your soil is down underneath. Remember, don't worry so much about what it looks like on the top, but the riot is going on under the ground. And I'm convinced that more of our plants die from overwatering than underwatering.
I agree.
They get root rot and they're gone. So if you pull that pencil, you push it down in, if you pull it out and it's got soil around the bottom, then you know that the soil is wet down around the roots.
Well, if you have any questions about, maybe you have questions about gardening tools, you can always direct them to the Master Gardeners, and you can reach them on their hotline at 771-2354, 771-2354. That's also the number you can call in order to learn more about the Horticulture and Landscape Conference that Denise was talking about at the beginning of the show. And I know we're going to be talking more about fall gardening because the weather's getting cooler. It's on the brain, and fall is for planting here in the region, so we'll have many more episodes about that coming up. Well, we want to thank you so much for listening today. We want to thank Jairus Muller for engineering today's show, and we'd like to thank Evan Walsh for producing it. And we want to thank you, Jan Federzelka, for being back on our show.
It's always fun. I always have a great time with you ladies.
I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.